Welcome to the Last Post Radio Show. And you're with Greg T. Ross, and in keeping with our plans to have some interesting people from around Australia, we're lucky enough today to have Michelle McKenna, officer from the National Anzac Centre in Albany. Michelle, hello, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Greg. I'm doing quite well today. Thank you.
That's good. Pleased to have you aboard. It's a magnificent place you've got there, the National Anzac Centre in Albany. It's Australia's foremost museum honouring the Anzac legend. And if you could just give us a bit of a background, I suppose, Michelle, for listeners, how that actually came about and some of the magnificent things you've got there.
Yeah, so the National Anzac Centre was a project that the local RSL here was very keen to get off the ground. I believe it was probably about 10 years in the making and lobbying for it. And roughly 2 years before our opening date, things actually got underway with the help from state, local and federal government funding, as well as some sponsors contributing as well. And then it was probably a good 2 years worth of construction, and everything was done and ready to open in time for the 100th centenary of the first convoy departure on the 1st of November 2014.
Yes, it's got a magnificent history itself, Michelle, almost as, it's honouring such an event that for Australia's historical records, the 2014 departure. And we'll get onto that in just a moment. It's a big part of what you have to offer there. You've got a lot of things happening there at the National Anzac Centre, and congratulations on the Albany RSL for planning that and getting it moving, because it's a great addition to Australia's historical legacy. The areas on the site, Michelle, what are they?
Yeah, so the entire Albany Heritage Park is a reserve in the heart of Albany in Western Australia here. It's set within 260 hectares of natural bushland, and that includes the historical grounds. We have exhibition buildings that are part of the Princess Royal Fortress, developed reserves. There's some coastal trails and tracks throughout the park as well. And it's set on a coastal granite escarpment, and there's two mountaintops on there, which includes the summit of Mount Clarence and also Mount Adelaide. And the hillside stretches down to the shores of both King George Sound and Middleton Beach.
Well, I tell you what, Michelle, how difficult is it to work there?
We have the best office window around, actually. That's what we all like to say.
I'm going to apply for a job.
Yes, well, do so.
It sounds beautiful. We were lucky enough to live in WA for a while as teenagers and did visit Albany. And I know it's an absolutely beautiful area with a lot to offer. But we're talking with Michelle McKenna today about the National Anzac Centre in Albany, and what it has to offer those not only connected to veterans, but for all Australians interested in our history. What, in talking of that, I guess you'd have a lot of your school kids and stuff going there too, Michelle, would you?
Yes, we have a variety of people come and visit. It ranges from organised school groups that might be down here on camp or local groups visiting. We quite often will have scouts and cadet groups coming through as well. Then we've got the tour coaches that are on organised tours, usually of the southwest area, or might be down for wildflower season later in the year. And then we'll get also cruise ship season too. So that's well underway now as well.
Mm. And certainly something that the kids would remember growing up into adults, and an appreciation of the Anzac legend by visiting the National Anzac Centre there in Albany. You've got some activities, I guess, that would span across a whole lot of genre and age groups, cultural, historical, recreational, and the shop and everything. So can you tell us a little bit about that, Michelle?
Yeah, so up on the site here, it's actually the Princess Royal Fortress. It's one of two pre-Federation coastal defences that were established. And this one here in Albany actually dates back to 1893. So it was recognised that the important port facilities here needed protecting, and the different states and territories aside from Tasmania at the time actually came together to fund having the garrison here, and Britain supplied the armaments to be installed on site, and that became one of our first pre-Federation coastal defences there, forming the Princess Royal Fortress, and that helped to protect the intercontinental trade routes and was one of the main reasons that the convoys assembled here. So there's a range of activities that people can do. They can come and explore for free and look through the military museum that is now part and held within the Princess Royal Fortress historical buildings. There are tracks and trails that are enjoyed by people that like hiking, also mountain bike riding as well. You've got the Desert Mountain Corps Memorial on the top of Mount Clarence, and also the Padre White Lookout. And the Desert Mountain Corps Memorial is where it's reported that the very first Anzac Day service was held by Padre White. He stood there in 1930 after leading a pilgrimage from St John's Church, and that was said to be the first observance of a dawn service in 1930.
And it was Padre White.
That's correct.
Wow, that's historical.
Yeah.
That's
So we
incredible.
also have a boardwalk trail that goes all the way from Middleton Beach around to the port, and that can allow people to get off the beaten track there and explore different lower areas, including the Plantagenet Battery and the Point King Lighthouse, along that walk trail as well.
That's incredible. And so it was in 1893, was it, that you said that it was the port was built?
That was the Princess Royal Fortress was established in 1893, yes.
That must have an amazing history in itself too. It's an incredible stuff. And look, I know you'll give out the hours of operation in just a moment, Michelle, but I was thinking by the sounds of what you've gone through, and I know there's more, but how long, I suppose you'd have an option of spending quite a few hours here.
Yes, a lot of people do find that they spend a lot longer than they may have expected on our site. So, essentially, a visit through the National Anzac Centre itself, we'd usually recommend at least a minimum of an hour, but tickets are valid all day once individuals have them, and they can come and go as much as they choose throughout that day. And then you can include and incorporate a look through the Princess Royal Fortress buildings, which are all free to anyone that comes up on the site. And they are open daily between 9 and 4, whereas the centre doesn't close until 5 p.m. And then, if we have our volunteers available, there might even be a history talk about the history of the fortress available in a morning or an afternoon, depending on their roster. And then you've got the walks up to Mount Adelaide, where you can go along the convoy walk and see all the ships listed and what they had on board as they went on their convoy. And then taking the views up the top of the summit of Mount Adelaide at the convoy lookout and see where all the ships were assembled, ready for the first and second convoys to depart.
Boy, I mean, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting over there myself and going through some of this that you've just mentioned because it sounds absolutely fantastic. I was wondering, can you have a picnic there?
Yes, definitely. We've got a lovely grassed area out the front of the National Anzac Centre where people can lay out picnic blankets or just enjoy the lovely cool green grass. And there are a number of picnic tables dotted around the site as well. And we also have an undercover barbecue area here too, which is at the back of the fourth store.
Now you've got me going, Michelle. An undercover barbecue. Well, let me tell you, I'm booking the flight now.
Excellent. We'll see you next week.
Just, I tell you what, there'll be a knock on the door and it'll be me, and I'll have the snags and everything ready. So that sounds fantastic. I guess one of the important things, something that I've always found quite amazing in getting to know what you've got there at the National Anzac Centre in Albany, Michelle, is people that come there can take on the identity of, what is it, 32 soldiers or something? Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so the National Anzac Centre features the stories of 32 different individuals that represent a cross section of the different facets of war. So when you come for a visit inside the National Anzac Centre, you will be given one of those people and you'll walk with their wartime story. And it may be one of the troops themselves, it could be a support personnel, so someone like a nurse, a chaplain, a photographer, or a war correspondent. And then there is also all sides of the war told through the eyes of one Turkish and one German officer, as well as a British naval officer in the mix too.
Geez, that's unique. And I guess, I mean, I did a virtual, I went to the Kokoda Trail in a virtual sense some years ago and found that quite moving. This would be quite an experience for people partaking in this.
Yes, that's correct. And there are a number of our visitors that find that once they are here, they may have quite a personal connection with the individual whose story they're given. It may be an actual relative connection down through the line. So we've had a number of relatives of the families of the stories that are told in here come and visit as well over the years. And then you've got those ones that are able to look up an individual and see if their relative may have been in the convoys as well on our convoy table. So there is an interactive feature on there where you can do a name search. And then, of course, we've got the names scrolling through our pool of reflections of the 41,265 people that were on board those convoys that left in 1914.
Boy, yeah, it's very moving, actually, Michelle. And I suppose when you take on the identity of one of these 32 soldiers, do you know if they survived the war?
Yes, you do go through all the different stages of their wartime story. So you'll go from their enlistment to what convoy ship they're on, life on board the convoy ship, to the different battles they encountered, and then following up at the end with the I guess what you would call the effects of the war there too. And then at the very end, you'll find out their final outcome. So you go through the consequences and then what their fate was. And then there is an opportunity as well, once you've had that personal connection, a lot of people like to leave a tribute to their soldier or to another one or just to the Anzacs in general. And that's a feature on our tribute wall that's able to be used as well.
It brings home, and bless you and the National Anzac Centre for keeping this foremost in the minds of individuals in Australia, with following through the stories of these soldiers, and I guess reinforcing the fact that war is a terrible thing, and there are after effects. You may return home alive physically, but there may be sort of after effects there that will impinge on, yeah, your role in society, I guess, for a while at least. It's a shocking thing, but more important still for places like the National Anzac Centre in Albany to bring this to mind for people. So what are the hours of operation, Michelle? We're like, what time do you open?
So the National Anzac Centre is open very much on a daily basis from 9 a.m. for our first entries. Last tickets are sold at 4 p.m. and then we close up at 5 each day. Now, the only exception to that is we are, of course, closed on Christmas Day. And here in WA, this coming Monday is actually a public holiday, and we have a Targa Sprint Rally car race happening, and that actually goes from Middleton Beach around Marine Drive and up and concludes in the car park here. So on that one Monday of that long weekend each year, if that event is running, we do have to close. So that is the only exception to our daily opening 7 days a week coming up on this Monday.
Well, you're there almost year round. That's quite incredible. Quite incredible. What happens on Anzac Day? If you could let listeners know about Anzac Day and what's happening in Albany and the Anzac Centre.
Yes, so the Desert Mounted Corps Memorial is the site of the commemorations each year for the Dawn service. So they recreate that up there, run by the RSL and also with support from the City of Albany. So that service is conducted up there in the morning, and then people can make their way back down to the Anzac Peace Park, and mid-morning there will be a march down the main street that concludes at the Peace Park. And then in terms of us, we're open for our normal operating hours on the day for people to be able to pay their respects as well. And it can quite often be that people will do all those morning activities, and because they've had a really early start, they might go home for a bit of a rest and a break around the midday, and then we'll get some more visitors coming through in the afternoon after they've had a bit of a siesta.
Yeah, wise move. Yes, I know. That's what happens most Anzac days, that's for sure too, Michelle. Michelle McKenna, officer from the National Anzac Centre in Albany, and what a magnificent place there, 260 hectares of bushland, Mount Clarence and Mount Adelaide there, beautiful. Mountain bikes, boardwalks, trails, and most importantly, picnics and barbecues.
Yes, we've got to keep everybody fed.
Magnificent stuff. Michelle McKenna, thank you very much for being on the Last Post Radio Show podcast series, and we thank you for your part in this.
Thank you very much for the invitation, Greg. It's been a pleasure.
You're listening to Greg T. Ross and the Last Post Radio Show on Captivate, Apple, and Spotify.